Father, we love you. We thank you so much for the songs and the testimonies this morning. Lord, you're a God who loves us. You have never let us down, Lord. Yes, even in times when we have been down in the valley, you've always been there, holding our hands and encouraging us to go on. Now we ask, Lord, that you would bless your word to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. My title today is from Joel 3 and verse 14, and it is, The Lord is near in the valley of decisions. Life is a series of decisions. What you are today and what I am today truly are based, or to a large degree based, on the decisions that we have made yesterday, last month, a year, 10 years from today. What you will be and what I will be in the future will be based largely on decisions we make today and we make tomorrow. Largely, by the decisions you make in your life today and I make today will actually determine our destiny in the future. Let me clarify it for you. In order for us to be here today, like I was so excited when Annalise brought this up, we all had to make a choice. Because it confirmed what I had to say today. A choice to get up this morning, a choice to get dressed, a choice to leave the house, a choice to take a certain route to come to church, a choice to enter this building, a choice to take a seat where you're sitting this morning. And right now you are making a choice to actually listen to me or tune me out as I speak. Hopefully you made the right choice to listen to me this morning. It's the path that we take and the steps that we make that make us who we are. And we need to make some wise choices in our lives. No matter what age or what stage in our lives we are in, and will always be in a stage where we will be confronted with series of choices that we have to make every day in our lives. Choices like, what job do we take? What house do we live in? Who do we marry? Or what we eat for dinner? Or how do we advise our children? And for some of us who've got grandchildren, how do we advise our grandchildren? We have a lot of important choices that we make each and every day. So life basically is filled with decisions that we have to make every single day of our lives. Choices will determine the direction of our lives and the destiny of our life. Some decisions have far-reaching consequences, and other decisions are don't reach that far. Many of the decisions we make determine our character, determine our destiny, and determine our eternity. Therefore, it would be helpful to have some kind of process through which we go through when we're making decisions. To make a decision is a decision. To not make a decision is still a decision because you've not made a decision. We need to know how to make these decisions wisely. And the best place we can turn to is the Word of God. Amen? The best thing, and I want to share with you quickly 8 keys. I may just scan through some of them quickly and dwell on some more on a slightly lengthy period. We start with faith, firstly. The first key. And I've got quickly 3 sub-points. One, we lean on God, we learn from God, and the third, that's what we have to do, and the third part God does. God leads us from there. Proverbs 28 verse 26 says this, He who trusts in himself is a fool, but he who walks in wisdom is kept safe. One of the common mistakes we all make, and I include myself in this, is we make decisions without seeking the counsel of God. And the writer of Proverbs writes over and over and over and over again in the book of Proverbs, many, many passages there for us to learn from. And if I can make a suggestion, I would suggest to you to try and read Proverbs 1 chapter a day, every day. You'll finish the book of Proverbs in 30 days. And if you keep rereading it in a year, you'll finish the book of Proverbs 12 times. It's one of those books that you don't need to leave aside. You need to keep reading and rereading. Because what it does in the book of Proverbs, it teaches us, it gives us gems to walk in wisdom. Many of us in our lives, those of us who have lived a little, like myself as well, can tell you, or have seen, the dire consequences of making the wrong decisions. Because we have depended and we've made decisions on our own understanding rather than taking counsel or seeking the counsel of God and looking at things from a godly perspective. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, that's up on the wall over there to remind us every time we come into this building. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He shall direct your paths. So the first point here is lean on the Lord. The word trust in Hebrew literally means to lean with the whole body or to rest one's full weight upon something. Absolutely leaning on something that is going to take your weight without being scared that it's going to give up. We think of trust as putting our assurance in something, but it is really more than that. If you go back to the original text, the word picture carries this. The idea of stretching yourself out on a bed or a hard surface with full confidence that that surface is going to take your weight. Now in India we used to get these choir type cots. It was used mainly by people who don't have proper housing, and they would put it out in the middle and they would sleep on them. But they were made out of choir. And half the time, you'll see as they sleep on the bed, the whole choir is kind of rounded. It's like almost giving up on their weight. But that's not what the word picture says. It says it's like lying down on something like the stage, knowing fully well that your weight will be borne by the stage, or if you had a bed here, for instance. And boy, that is such a beautiful picture to know that when we trust the Lord holds us up 100%. When we trust the Almighty God and our Lord Jesus Christ, we put our full weight and we abandon ourselves to Him. Amen? To trust the Lord is to rest your full weight, everything you have, upon Him. The title Lord in this text is the name Yahweh or Jehovah, and it focuses on God's covenant-making promise, keeping character. We are called to trust the unchanging one who can be counted on. Here's another promise in the same text. Whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. When we come to a fork in the road and we say, which direction shall we go? Shall we turn to the left or shall we turn to the right? The first thing, folks, we should do before we even consider should we turn to the left or to the right is we should pray. We should pray and say to the Lord, I have to make this decision, God. I'm praying now for guidance. I pray to God for guidance. I pray, Lord, I want to acknowledge you in this thing. I'm too inadequate to make a decision because if I make it in my own understanding, I'm most likely going to make the wrong decision. So I'm coming to God now for wisdom and advice, and I'm seeking His will. And this is what the scripture says, that He will give wisdom if you ask for it in a simple, childlike manner. It is comforting to know that God gives wisdom to all of us who seek it. Nobody is exempt from that. As believers, we are called to completely trust and commit ourselves to God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. That's what the text says. And the word heart, what does it mean? It refers more than just the place from where feelings come from. In the Old Testament, the heart was considered the center of the mind, the will, and the emotions. And the Bible says we are to trust God with all that we are, with all the feelings, with all our thoughts and all our decisions, knowing fully well that God's will is not a manner of not a matter of learning a tricky technique or following a fancy formula, but is literally abandoning ourselves to God. In verse 5, it continues, "And lean not on your own understanding." To lean means to rest upon something for partial support. What do you do when you feel unsteady? You kind of lean onto a steady object that is close by, or it even gives you a word picture of leaning on something like a cane when you're walking. The second point is we learn from God. Let's look now at the first part of verse 6. It says we are urged to do a second thing, and it says learn from God. This is stated in the imperative and should be understood as a command. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. In all your ways means it means in everything you and in everything I do. Every detail of our life, God is interested in that. He's not only interested in the big decisions, He's interested in the small little things and the big things, whatever. It means that it refers to a journey between point A and point B. That means it says in everything you do, when you start from point A and you end in, say, point Z, everything you do in between, God wants us. God wants us to learn from Him every day of our lives. And this is exciting, folks, when we do it. The word acknowledge carries with it an idea of intimate communion, and it is used to describe a marriage relationship. One way we can translate it is in this way: in everything you do, make sure you know the Lord. Isn't that beautiful, the way it's put? It's the kind of knowing that only comes from a personal relationship, a personal experience. When we know God's heart, we will never question His will. When we know God's heart, we will never question His will. Because knowing God's will is really all about knowing God. Now, this is what God promised to do. He will lead us. This is quite important, folks. Our responsibility is to lean on God and learn from God. The last part of verse 6 tells us that God will then lead us. And it says, and He will make our paths straight. Now the word denotes intensity. God is committed to pull out all stops, folks, for us, and go to work when we lean and when we learn from Him. God's commitment to us is that. This too is important. God doesn't promise to make us wealthy. God doesn't promise to make us healthy and popular and comfortable. He promises something much more deeper. He will make our path straight, which means that He will make it clear what direction we should go. And He will help us navigate through life situations and whatever life may throw at us. Oh boy, I just want to shout hallelujah, because that is so true. The second point is get the facts. The second process when it comes to making decisions is compose the facts and then approach it. What does God's word say about this decision? Proverbs 13:16 says this: every prudent man acts out of knowledge. Now please note this, it is very important. We don't set aside our intelligence when we live by faith. It doesn't mean that we check our brains at the door when we come into the church. It doesn't mean that we don't use our facts or that we set aside our own mind. God doesn't intend for us to do that when we live by faith. We are not to make decisions out of ignorance. We are not to assume that what people tell us is going to be the truth. We are to get all the facts concerning this decision that we are about to make. Proverbs 18:13 says, "He that answers a matter before he hears it, it is folly and shame unto him." The NIV says, what a shame, how stupid to decide before knowing the facts. Now, Solomon, who wrote this, was a businessman. He was a king. He was a writer. He was a poet. He was a leader of people. He was a leader of a nation. It was important for him to know the facts about a certain situation before he could pass judgment. Do you remember the first thing Solomon asked for when God says, Solomon, ask of me one thing and I'll give you anything you want? And we know the story. Solomon asks for wisdom. Solomon asks for wisdom because he knew that he needed the wisdom of God to make the many decisions he had to as a leader of a nation. Now, that did not mean that Solomon did not read or study or learn. In fact, if we read the book of Ecclesiastes, it says this of Solomon. It says he learned everything that he could about every situation. He sought learning and he was a learned man. So in every decision, we are to get the facts. My third point quickly is to seek godly counsel. Proverbs 12 and verse 15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hears unto counsel is wise. Many times God speaks through godly people. He speaks through godly friends. Now the emphasis is on the word godly. It's very important. He speaks through godly friends. Now friends that will tell you what you don't want to hear. There is nothing wrong when you're faced with a choice and you have to make an important decision that you seek out godly people who will actually hear what you have to say and stand with you in prayer and will not give their own opinion but actually come back to you with godly counsel. Proverbs 20 and verse 8 says this, the more advice you get, the more likely you are to win. And the scripture says there is wisdom in the counsel of many. It is better to learn from the experience of somebody else's rather than to live and learn from your own experiences. You know why? Because life is too short to learn only from your own mistakes. Amen? If we learn from the mistakes of others, we've already got a leg up on a situation because somebody's been through that and they've come out and they'll say, hang on, don't go there. This is often parents telling kids, but they don't think it comes with wisdom. They think we're saying it because we're parents. But we've been there. We've had some failures in life. Now we're saying, son, daughter, don't go there. And we pray that our kids take that counsel because it's easier to learn from somebody else's mistakes. It gives us a leg up or a heads up on not to make the same mistakes. God uses other people many times to inform our choice and to speak about a decision. You can't choose for me and I can't choose for you. But something God can use, and He uses godly people to inform you and to inform me on the choices that will help us to make the right decision. Now, having said that, that doesn't excuse you from actually going to God in prayer and saying, God, I need your advice, I need your counsel, I need your direction, I need to acknowledge you in this situation. Okay? Quickly, point four, focus on God. Concentrate and focus your thoughts on God. Will this decision I'm about to make honor God? Ask yourself questions. What am I about to do? Will it honor God? Will it actually glorify God? Proverbs 17:24 says this, and I love this in the Good News Translation. It says, an intelligent man aims at wise action, but a fool starts off in many directions. Concentrate your choice is very important. Life is full of decisions, but you can only make one decision at a time. And you and I can only handle one problem at a time, one decision at a time. So we must concentrate our focus. What is the most important choice I have to make today? What is the most important decision I have to make today, right now? And the Apostle Paul, you remember in Philippians, he addresses this and he said, this one thing, forget everything, he says, this one thing I do, of course, He's talking about serving Christ, but he's making sure his priorities are right. And he says, this one thing I do, that I forget all the things that are behind me and I look forward to the things that is ahead of me. I press towards the mark of the high calling of God and our Lord Jesus Christ in my life. An intelligent man or woman aims at wise action, but fools start off in many directions. This one thing I do clearly sets out his goal. Concentrate on that goal and be willing to take risks to achieve that goal. And once you have set that goal, do not take your eyes off that goal. One thing about decisions and about relationships, and all of us probably know this, it is easier to enter into one than it is to get out of one. Have you ever signed a contract with a phone company and it's a 24-month contract and you decide, oh, gee, I made the wrong mistake? You can't get out. You're bound by the contract. Once a decision is made, you have to set course. You set the course and the race must be run until the course is finished. Paul said, brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have hold on this, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead of me, I press towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Next point is count the cost. Ask yourself, what will it cost me? Proverbs 20 verse 5 says this, counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. A picture of a well, you know, water right at the bottom, but drawing out is the importance. What is the cost of this decision that I'm going to make? What are the consequences of this choice? What will it cost to make this choice? So there are many, many things we have to consider when we're making a decision. Is it necessary? Is this a priority right now in my life? What will it cost in time and resources? Am I able to commit to this? And keep prayerfully asking these questions, seeking the guidance of God when we are faced with a decision-making time. Another tip, very important, is avoid making decisions when you are very physically and emotionally tired and drained. And there are times you and I need to wait when we are making decisions, when we are tired or emotionally drained. Sometimes people will press us to make decisions, but we've got to be strong and say, no, sorry, I can't make that decision right now, purely because we are tired, emotionally drained, and we need to seek the presence of God before we make decisions. And don't feel afraid to say no. Making a decision when you're emotionally drained or physically tired will cause you and me to make mistakes. Avoid making decisions when you're feeling low and a bit down or going through a spell of, you know, depression, if I could use that word. Because when one is in that state of mind, one cannot give a clear answer onto certain things. So even when pressure comes, pressure from somebody outside trying to make their case, or even pressure from a loved one within your home, be careful when you're making decisions when you're in that stage. People can take advantage of you and press you into decisions that you won't ordinarily make. So be careful, calculate all the factors involved, and don't be afraid, like I said, to say, no, I need time out, I will get back to you when I'm ready. Next point is consider your enemy. This is quite important. You say, I don't have any enemies, Glenn. Well, in a way, yes, and that's good. But we all do have one enemy. His name is Satan. If you're a believer, we have an enemy. God's word says, be aware, be alert, because Satan is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. That means every Christian has to be on the watch and be alert. And the Bible also says he can come in a form of an angel of light. So we have to be very spiritually aware that we have an enemy, which is the devil. Proverbs 20:18 says this, and this is in the Good News Translation again. Do not go charging into battle without a plan. Anything you attempt or I attempt, will be filled with problems, and the enemy will see to it. Have you ever noticed that life is not easy? Anybody here been through life without problems? Life is not easy. Life is not without its problems, and Satan will attack anything big you attempt to do for God. Anything, whether it be entering into a relationship, whether it being anything relating to your life that is important for your life and growth. But don't let that discourage you. You know why? Because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen. We've got Jesus Christ. Just like the words of that song said, He will always be there. Just know, however, that there is going to be a fall. Anticipate the problem and how you're going to deal with it through prayer and the power that God gives us. Amen? Now, this is not being negative. This is being realistic. It's being wise, knowing that everything you and I try to do for God, whether we'll be attacked by the enemy, we'll be tried by the enemy, whether it is building a church, a marriage relationship, building life, it's always going to be attacked by the enemy. But we must remind ourselves that greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. We have the victory through Jesus Christ. Amen? Now, do we live in fear? Of course not, we don't. But we have to be wise, we have to be alert, and we have to be walking close to God to realize and to discern and to rebuke and claim our victories in Jesus Christ. Amen? Confront your fears. I think I will probably end with this last point because I'm running out of time. Every person has fears. Fear is something that man had since the Garden of Eden. Did you know the first thing man did when he sinned? He ran and he hid from a loving God. That's what sin did. Sin brought that in. When Adam and Eve sinned, the next thing you know, and when we read the Bible, and when God walks through the garden and says, Adam, where are you? And he said, I was hiding because I was afraid of you. Sin brought fear. And since that time, man has been afraid of making decisions. Afraid of living, afraid of dying, afraid of imagined enemies, afraid of many things. There are many fears that man has when making decisions. Afraid of rejection. The fear of man, the Bible says, brings about a snare. The fear of man, what is the fear of man? The fear of man basically is, in one way, is rejection. Nobody will like me. Nobody will accept me. Nobody will approve of me. The fear of failure. If I make this decision, I will fail. I will not succeed. I will not be good enough. I don't have what it takes. And on and on and on we can go, making excuses. One of my favorite scripture verses is that this, the fear of man is a trap, but trusting God delivers us from all these fears. That remind, I put it there, I've showed you this before. Proverbs 29, verse 25. Proverbs 14, 26, 27 says this, those who fear the Lord are secure. He will be a refuge for their children. How beautiful is that? This is a promise. Fear the Lord is a life-giving fountain. It offers escape from the snares of death. The Amplified Bible says this, the fear of God builds up confidence and makes a world safe for your children. The fear of God is a spring of living water, so you won't go off drinking from poisoned wells. What a contrast between the fear of man and the fear of God, isn't it? Hallelujah. The fear of God is a fountain of life. It's a refuge and it is an escape from death. What is the fear of the Lord? If you remembered my sermon last Sunday, one of the definitions of the fear of the Lord is, and I gave that to you, is the way we view Scripture. The way we view Scripture. If we don't treasure Scripture, we won't honor Scripture. Amen? What does the word of God say about me is more important than what man says about me. The fear of the Lord brings acceptance. That's what the Bible says. We can accept ourselves. We know because God accepts us. The fear of the Lord brings security. It brings success. It brings prosperity. And it brings strength. Because if we fear God, we don't have to fear anybody else. Amen? And this is the amazing thing, folks, about the fear of the Lord. If you walk in the fear of the Lord, if I walk in the fear of the Lord, you know He is in control of every circumstances, every situation in your life. He accepts you and He accepts me. He has provided security for you and He has provided security for me. When we trust Him, He will make a way. I don't care what you're going through, God will make a way. And I'm not talking here as a Johnny-come-lately. I have walked with the Lord for 32 years, and I can tell you I've been through some deep valleys and some mountain experiences. God will make a way when you trust Him. I can tell you that. And Heston's testimony confirmed that. Psalm 33, 18 through to 22 says this, "Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear Him." Isn't that amazing? You walk in fear and God's eye is constantly on you and constantly on me. "On those who hope in His mercy to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul awaits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield, for our heart will rejoice in Him, because we have trusted in His holy name. Let Your mercy, O Lord, be upon us, just as we hope in You." And this Psalm 32 is so beautiful. It says, "I will instruct you." This is God speaking. You're facing a time of decision making. God says, "When you come before Me, you seek My advice and My counsel. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you and keep My and guide you with My eye. Do not be like the horse or a mule, which have no understanding, which must be harnessed with bit and bridle, else they will not come near you." And this is great. "Many are the sorrows of the wicked, but he who trusts the Lord, mercy shall surround him." Amen. Psalm 23, "The goodness and the mercy of the Lord follows us all the days of our life. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous, and shout for joy, all you are who are upright in heart." We are a blessed people, folks. We are. We need to take time out and consider how blessed we are because of the cross. I think I'll end here to keep with time. Let's pray. Amen. If some of us today are sitting at a mountain, mountain seems to be too big for us to climb over. But you've been at that mountain for many years. I think it's time to make a choice, a time to break rank and trust the Lord. Time to step out in faith. And I pray today's message would have brought you some encouragement to take that next step. We need to lean on God. We need to learn from God. And when we do that, God has promised to lead us. Father, I thank You for Your precious word, which is true. Which is true. Every promise in the word is true, Lord. Every chapter, every line is true. Hallelujah. Lord, because You said if it wasn't true, I wouldn't have told You. Thank You. Thank You, Lord. Bless the dear folk here today. Help us, God, to walk with You closely. And I pray for those who are not here today that Your hand would be upon them in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a cup of tea.